Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
Oh, buckle up, folks, because today we are choosing violence.
Oh, we are gonna bitch until this bitch is out. Because, oh my god, is there anything more frustrating than other fans? I believe Sartre said that hell is other fans.
Oh, especially nowadays, like, I am a Doctor Who fan, but I have not considered myself a member of that fandom for at least, like, 3 or 4 years now.
Since it became cannibalistic and wild.
And sexist as fuck.
Ooh, my, yes. Didn't expect that from the show about the old white man traveling around the universe doing whatever he wants. Oh, no. Oh, no!
No, and it's not as if the creator of the show had tried to get a female doctor as far back as the 80s. Oh, wait, it's exactly like that.
No one was interested in that. No. I mean, you got that nice joke by Rowan Atkinson, and you should be happy with that. You should be happy with when Rowan Atkinson makes fun of you. That counts as representation in England, goddammit.
Oh, the tragic thing is that back then, it kind of did.
It really honestly did. It was the 90s.
Yeah.
Don't ask us about Cool Britannia. We'll only tell you about Cruel Britannia. Anyway.
Yeah, the tragic part is that the key words in that phrase were back then.
Back then. Not now. Different kind of horrible now.
And needless to say, we are opening and going guns a-blazing on everything surrounding Moses Ingram.
Yes. Who, and here, to be clear, here's the official position of this show. Holy shit, she's amazing.
Holy shit.
She took a show about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, two characters that are, like, so ingrained into our audience, our generation, our culture, and every time she's on screen, I just want to be like, hey, everyone shut the fuck up. Piss off, Kenobi. Piss off, Annie. A performer is here. A professional is on stage. Get the shit out of the way. We done got lots of Kenobi from Ewan McGregor. I'm always happy for more Ewan McGregor. I am. I really like him. But holy shit. She's giving like 1,000% and stealing the show very much on her own terms. And like, wow, I can't wait to see her in 1,000 other things that will no doubt piss a lot of people off. Let's get her in the MCU. Let's get her in the MCU.
Oh, yeah. No, like, sorry. In all seriousness, Moses Ingram's Reva, otherwise known as Third Sister, is a more intriguing analog of Darth Vader in a show that actually has Darth Vader.
Yeah, who, I'm sorry. The more we see of Darth Vader, the less I like his character. The more, like, annoying he becomes. The more he's just like Annie, the god-awful pissant little child. It's just Annie. Annie threw a fit. Annie's throwing a tantrum again. Oh, great. But her character, Inquisitor, what was it, Third Sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I don't give a shit about the Inquisitors. Like, I enjoyed Rebels, but was always very much just like, oh, you smell of Dark Horse. You know, like, this is trying to have your cake and eat it too, and I wasn't in an uproar over when they cast the Inquisitors in live action, and one of their heads was the wrong shape entirely.
Who cares?
Oh, okay. He looks like Fester and, like, the dude from Hellraiser, you know, Pinhead. You could have them all together because they all have the general roundedness, and it's like, okay, that looks a little sillier than it should have, but holy shit, yeah. calm your tits, everyone. Calm your tits. But I never gave a crap about those characters. I always saw them as disposable until now, and it's like, wow. Incredible. Such a brilliant, layered, and like raging performance. I fuck Annie. He doesn't make me like understand why he fell to the dark side. I think he just kind of tripped. He sucks. This is someone who clearly has like the actual rage. This is who should have been Vader.
Oh,
take the whole thing. We're stopping Star Wars. We're doing a do-over. Everything's out. She's in as Vader. We're starting this shit from the beginning. Get George Lucas. Throw him in the fucking desert with a camera. Go!
Oh, yeah, like, for me, the Inquisitors in general were like, okay, we want to use the Sith. We need the Sith for our story, but we can't use the Sith for whatever reason. So here's like our fill-in Sith. Which
the story group says we're only allowed to have 2 Sith unless they say we can have 5 Sith, in which case there are 5 Sith, but there are only 2 Sith because the rule of 2, but there are definitely more Sith.
Yeah.
They're not Sith, they're fallen Jedi. What's a Sith? A fallen Jedi. Shut the fuck up!
Now, once again, to just reiterate, this show 1,000% supports Moses Ingram. And if that's a problem for you, you've now been listening to us for about 7 minutes. Statistically, we don't need you in our audience. So there's the door. Get the fuck out.
Thanks for the traffic, asshole. Goodbye.
Exactly. Now, for those of you who are still here and not complete dicks, number one, we love you. Second, we're going to get into the actual story now.
Because that is the official position of the show, and that has to be stated because of the mountain of bullshit.
Yeah.
The avalanche that fell from that mountain of bullshit, the avalanche that threatened the small quaint valley town under the mountain of bullshit.
Very quickly, I'm going to start with an article from Variety where it talks about how Ingram had told The Independent that Lucasfilm executives warned her that she would likely face harassment online from racist Star Wars trolls as a black woman entering the franchise. That is a warning no one should ever have to receive, but here we are.
Yeah, like that it's an official part of like their employee handbook for performers of like any ethnicity, likely, considering how the same asshole shit on Rose Tico to the point that she kind of like quit celebrity. Like, she's coming back, thank God.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like, there was a couple of years there where she was just like, how about I just don't. It's like, well, that's a real shame because you're incredibly talented and these people are pissants and not worth it.
No, and also I'm glad you brought that up because the very next line, POC actors such as John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran, tragically they accidentally wrote Kelly Marie Train, faced their own racism from toxic fans when they joined the Star Wars franchise. And keep that in mind, folks, because it's going to come back later.
Yeah, because it's sadly not new.
And Moses did go on to say that Kenobi director Deborah Chow has, quote, put the proper systems in place so I feel safe as we do the work, which, again, I am glad to hear. But that should not have to happen.
Yeah, it's just a shame that, like, as a part of the 1,001 jobs that a director of a show has to do, that kind of shit should not be one of them.
No.
At the very least, that's a producer's job. But seriously, it shouldn't be anyone's job because it shouldn't have to happen. It shouldn't have to happen.
No, exactly. And the official Star Wars Twitter account did at least try to be proactive, or, I don't know, proactive by a corporate entity standards, by tweeting, "We are proud to welcome Moses Ingram to the Star Wars family and excited for Reva's story to unfold. If anyone intends to make her feel in any way unwelcome, we have only one thing to say. We resist." Now, I get a nice thought, little on the boilerplate side.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's pretty Star Wars boilerplate, especially for a company that, like, they sure have, like, I think they're handling this pretty well now, because, yes, it's boilerplate, but they're standing by it.
Yeah.
Which is, it's been a fun time since Disney bought Lucasfilm, and they've gone through suddenly a ton of, like, various little instances of quote-unquote scandal where audiences are in an uproar over it, and it's like, I don't feel like that happened nearly as much previously. Like, when George Lucas was calling the shots, people would say, like, oh my god, that movie sucked, fuck. That was shit. That was shit. But no one would be like, ah, oh, he's making it woke. Ah, oh, he's too progressive. Ah, oh, and this is a man who included, like, overt references to George W. Bush and has the very much just, like, bald, like the subtlety was murdered for this scene. Instance of Queen Amidala saying, "This is how democracy dies," with, you know, a great
with
applause.
Thunderous applause.
And, yeah, thunderous applause. It's like, that's accurate, but it's not subtle. That's bad. Like, it's just, it's badly done. It's overly melodramatic. It's unironically clumsy. And it is overtly progressive / Democratic Party politics. And yet, no one, or at least to no great avail, no one bitched about that. Everyone was too busy complaining about how, like, it's badly written. Oh my god, why is this so badly written? Oh my god, what was with her line delivery? Oh god, George Lucas, stop. And then he stopped, and suddenly now it's all Disney's fault for making everything progressive and woke, and you're putting the people in it, and it's like, it's fascinating. It's not necessarily a comment on Star Wars. I think it's a comment on Disney's, like, the expectations the audience has from Disney as this weirdly staid conservative voice. And they can't accept it in Marvel. They can't accept it in the Princess line ever since. Well, actually, they were bitching about it back with, like, Pocahontas. And that is valid, but not for the reasons. Like, Pocahontas doesn't do anyone right.
No,
it pisses off the wrong people, and it pisses off the right people. And it's like, ah, oh, for fuck's sakes.
Well, and also, with that initial tweet that the official Star Wars account had put out, they did get called out for that, and rightfully so. And, well, first I have a quote from the Daily Beast's Laura Bradley that I think goes a bit toward what you were talking about. Quote, "Watching a studio that coddled toxic fans for decades in the name of profit try to put the lid back on the jar with a tweet, it's always cute."
And let's not mince words. The Star Wars universe, while white hetero male progressive, and very white hetero male progressive, it truly was, you know, it was against Vietnam, and it was, you know, pro various rights for any women that you happen to be interested in. It was very Sacramento white rich white man white White. And it kind of always was. If you look back to pre-Disney purchase Star Wars, it was overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly male. And if you, like me, suffered the extended universe, because that was all there was, yay, then you may remember how much people hated Mara Jade. Because she's a woman. And she thinks she's equal to Luke. And now they're like, oh my god, bring back Mara Jade. Why do you keep insisting on these woke characters? And it's like, you were pissed off then. You hated it. You hated it. And it's just... I think that the marriage of expectations from Disney, from conservative audiences, and the just, like, incessant incelness of some Star Wars fans created a perfect storm of perpetual asshole.
Oh, no doubt. And speaking of Disney and getting called out for things, in the official accounts thread, at one point they said, there are more than 20 million sentient species in the Star Wars galaxy. Don't choose to be racist. Which someone retweeted with, remember that time Star Wars had to edit out John Boyega from their poster in China?
Yep.
Yep. And yep. To keep going, somebody retweeted their initial tweet about Moses Ingram saying, quote, we don't hate her because of her race. It's because of the writing. Now, that was a quote in the tweet. And they go on to say, if a white dude played this Inquisitor, then you guys would be talking about the narrative, not pointing fingers at him or his character. You nerds always do this with John Boyega, Kelly Marie Tran, even Daisy Ridley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. Because yeah. Daisy Ridley's dialogue is equally as trite as Luke Skywalker's. Neither of them are as bad as Anakin Skywalker, thank God. But her very terrible lines are entirely in line with Star Wars. I mean, if you're coming to Star Wars for eloquent speeches, I am very sorry. Yeah. The best we can give you is... I am your father. Yeah. Like, that's the most coherent line in this entire goddamn series, and possibly the longest quote, aside from, like, Leia ripping Tarkin a new one.
Oh, yeah, and, like, the simple fact is, Rey's dialogue is on a par with Luke Skywalker's. Rey's story arc is on a par with Luke Skywalker's. Rey's Jedi training is on a par with Luke Skywalker's. And yet, Luke Skywalker doesn't get any of the criticism as a character that Rey and Daisy Ridley did. It's like people might, quote-unquote, secretly have an issue with something else about Rey.
Right, and now here's the thing, again with the wonderful sliding scale of jackassery. People used to have an issue way back in the day with Luke Skywalker because he was whiny and effeminate. The real hero of Star Wars for decades, as any old ass nerd will tell you, was Han Solo. The masculine, take charge go-getter who was all right with the ladies. He thought he was better. You know, all of this is just a constant churning of memory hole where they take their prejudice and they flush it every couple of years and pretend that, like, oh, no, that was always the best version. I was just, you know, offering some, like, criticism. Yeah, but now this is unspeakable. This is unspeakable. And in 10 years, they're going to look at this and they won't remember it. They won't remember it at all. They'll just be like, no. She's what's great about Star Wars. It's this polyamorous Jedi couple that's the fucking problem. Number one, that's against the Jedi code. Number two, ew.
And, I mean, let's be honest, by that point, there will be a new Jedi code. in the new version of the Jedi Order that Rey will have started. That's if Disney can actually convince Daisy Ridley to come back.
And if she can't, fuck her. Let's just replace her with an animated character and have the whole thing be a children's show. Hell, it worked with Hayden Christensen.
True. Now, again, with the good old Twitter, and I wanted to share this one because this is kind of one of the most fascinating versions of fan racism that I came across. I had retweeted somebody who said, "The people who believe this narrative that Star Wars fans are racist seem to be forgetting the fact that there have been beloved black characters and actors in the franchise for decades with no issues at all." Keep those last four words in mind, folks. And if there were issues, it was about how they were written. And they included pictures of John Boyega, Samuel L. Jackson, Donald Glover, and Billy Dee Williams. Now, when I retweeted this, what I said was, just so I'm clear, is this the entertainment version of "But I Have a Black Friend"? Also, also putting John Boyega on his list makes him rather, let's say, ill-informed.
Yeah. Also, way back in the early 80s, people complained about Lando Calrissian. Again,
yeah.
This is a constant churn. A constant churn. It's endless. It's endless.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up.
Also, with this tweet that I mentioned, the amazing thing was, further in this guy's thread, he doubled down to the point of naming the writers for, I believe, Kenobi, pointing out that they're all white men, and saying, no, you need to target them. These are the people you should go after. Like, you half expect that at some point he's just going to straight up dox them.
Yeah, it's like, it's the same kind of toxic, presumptive, like, yeah, we have power in numbers, and we demand unspeakable things, you know, that drove the Snyder Bros, where it's like, he literally thinks, okay, if we target these people for harassment, we'll get what we want. As if,
yeah.
For instance, Kenobi hadn't finished filming already. It's done. It's being released. This is how you have seen this shit, because it's been released.
It's done. It's out. Season 2 is already in the works.
Yeah, and they're definitely not taking notes from you. Yeah.
No.
This is a show that just had a character appear who essentially has, like, the equivalency of a handmade swastika flag on the back of their pickup truck. I think they don't give a crap what your dumbass has to say, and they just showed what they think of you. You've got, like, mole face, and you're a bootlicker. Bootlicker.
Oh, yeah, and, like, as if all this wasn't bad enough, as if we're not already tired of just the racism, the fact that as soon as we have an actor of color, that fandom just has to try to ruin everything. And you can say that this never happened before to your heart's content, so clearly it couldn't be her race. No, it's we.
But
didn't.
You're lying!
Oh, yeah, because we didn't have social media before.
Yeah, you had to actually, like, educate yourself about the history of stuff to know it. And. They don't do that.
No. Like, the spotlight was not shone on it before. But it is now.
And oops, it's all racism. Going back quite a while. Quite a while.
Oh, and it's not even just racism, because we get to add in child bullying.
Child bullying. Actually, speaking of, I was wondering if I'd have a spot to put this in, but we'll get to the serious aspect of this. I would like someone to ask Jake Lloyd's opinion on all of this. Because, like, as someone who is, like, so far removed, but also, like, yeah. the first fully damaged person that Star Wars hurt, like, and didn't apologize to properly, it's at least apologized somewhat to Ahmed Best and trying to come back. But, like, you know, Ahmed Best is being patient with Star Wars. Jake Lloyd is just like, no, it's not happening again. Fuck you. You know, and so, like, considering how damaging Star Wars can be, and that was, like, compared to what they're doing now, light harassment.
Oh, yeah.
And not to say that he was lightly harassed. He was bullied for years and years and years. But all of that has, like, been compacted due to the power of social media into, like, a laser-like focus that people have decided to point at a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, precisely. Actress Vivian Lyra Blair, who plays the young Leia Organa on the show, who, I'm sorry, may be the single greatest mixture of Carrie Fisher and Natalie Portman humanity could possibly produce.
Yeah, like, I'm not one for that conspiracy that Hollywood has vats where they grow the perfect actresses and actors and everything for parts, but, holy shit. Was there, like, at least some sort of arranged marriage here? Between, like, between the Fishers and the Portmans? And it's like, yeah. if they have a daughter, the Kwisatz Haderach will come about. But if they have a son, it'll be 1,000 years of darkness.
Because, like... I'm sorry, at one point I saw an article where the thumbnail had an image of Blair and Natalie Portman's Amidala, like, right beside each other, and you can't tell me that they're not related?
Yeah, no, like, and her last name's Blair. All right, there's a couple of Hollywood Blairs. I just presume that she is from Hollywood family in some sense, and therefore possibly related to one or the other in some sense, but, like, sweet Jesus, if that is purely just, like, good casting,
yeah,
that is impeccable, because it's not just how she looks, it's how she carries herself, like, an incredible amount of work from a 10-year-old child to perfectly capture the performance of someone who, I'm just going to assume, died before they were cast and therefore, like, never was able to meet.
No, it wouldn't have been before she was cast because she's about 10 years old, but it's close enough.
Oh, no, I don't think she was cast before, like, Carrie Fisher died.
No, I thought you meant in terms of possibility of meeting Carrie Fisher.
Oh, like randomly, sure. But, yeah. I mean, if she had been cast before Carrie Fisher died, then Lucasfilm, Disney absolutely would have been like, okay, so you're getting to meet Carrie Fisher because we need you to bond with her and take on a bunch of her mannerisms. And I just assume that didn't get to happen because of, like, how long ago relatively she died versus the casting and production of this. And without having that exposure, she's captured minute things. There's tiny, tiny aspects, tiny details. And it's like, few performers can nail that kind of replication without impression. And to see it from a 10-year-old is like, holy shit. So we've got two fantastic new-ish to new performers in this show being introduced. And and all you get is bitching and harassment for it. It's like, you people deserve none of it.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, first and foremost, she's playing Leia. Now, rule one of Star Wars, if you are Leia, you are not to be touched. You are to be protected at all times, because that character is, like, sacred. Number two, this little girl carries herself in such a Carrie Fisher-esque manner. Don't you people fucking ruin this, because we are going to need her for a long time to come.
Yeah, like, you have to look at how they're trying to carry this into the future. Ah, bad pun. And Solo clearly backfired. It's not right. Apologies to the actor, but sorry. You just actually weren't right for the part. That was a casting mistake. This is how you do it. You have to find someone who can inhabit that same kind of space and skin beyond. So they are absolutely going to go and find someone right now who, as a child, looks like Mark Hamill. And right now, as a child, well, probably teen, looks like, you know, Harrison Ford. Because we're going to need exactly that. Donald Glover, you're okay. You're safe.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic. You made the cut. Congratulations, Donald Glover. Everyone else from that movie, you're out.
Well, also, do remember, they don't have to look for a child Luke Skywalker. Well, not exclusively anyway, because they already have Sebastian Stan.
Well, yeah, this is true, but at some point, I swear to God, we're going to get a young Anakin live show or something. And like, the kid that they use in Kenobi hasn't gotten any close-ups at the moment for, like, you know, like, young Luke, and so we have no idea how they'll do it. And like, at some point we're going to go back and have like that space between when we first met Anakin and when we meet him in Attack of Clones. So we're going to need a Hayden Christensen, and like, because live action sells way better for Star Wars than the cartoons, and it means that it's quote unquote canon.
Exactly.
So no, like, this is the way of the future, so don't fuck this up. Don't fuck it up. Do you want live action Dash Rendar and Kyle Katarn? This is how you get it. Shut the fuck up, and this is how you get it. I can't wait to see like a preteen Wedge Antilles be like, someday I'm gonna be a fighter pilot, and someone be like, there's no need for fighter pilots. The universe is at peace.
Which, I mean, considering we do have Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron movie coming up, which...
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
No, my mistake. I assumed it, like almost everything else from that slate, was canceled.
Oh, no, it's not canceled. They're just... A lot of it is just on hold.
Wedge. I'm sorry. I'm an old school 90s Star Wars fan. Therefore, Wedge Antilles is the sexiest motherfucker since Dash Rendar.
No, that's totally fair. And like it could happen. There is rumor that they're using things like Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron movie, Taika Waititi's upcoming movie. A lot of those individual movies may or may not be being used to set up episode 10 and the next trilogy. Oh,
yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, at this point, the sequel trilogy was chaotic, and it ties back to what I was saying earlier about how, like, they've had to learn to deal with quote-unquote scandal, because the presumptive audience that they have gained since merging with Disney means that, you know, they get screamed at a lot. And they mistakenly took a lot of the notes from those people for a while.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up with a mess of a sequel trilogy that who knows the validity of at this point? Because I feel that if they could, they would wax on, wax off, and suddenly it would become the Ahsoka trilogy. Ha! Rey never existed. It was Ahsoka all along. Ooh. You know, I feel like at that point, if they could retcon, they would without losing, you know, a ton of face and merchandising and merchandising. So they're definitely going to be pushing for a new trilogy where they can fix all of it and slowly paste over that. It never happened. Palpatine was dead.
Yeah.
It never happened.
Yeah, no, if nothing else, if they have maybe learned that listening to the trolls is how you get Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
That would be all that I ask.
Yeah, so that we just don't get another absolute mess. And it's as much J.J. Abrams' fault for his approach to storytelling as it is Disney's fault for deciding to have J.J. Abrams end a trilogy. That's not what he does. He starts trilogies. That was why he was great for Force Awakens. And then you give it to someone else. But, like, the panic, the sheer panic, and I am so happy that they have learned slowly to deal with that and figure it out. And ever since The Mandalorian began and they essentially re-entered the Dave Filoni-verse, more or less, it seems that the narrative control and the confidence has returned, where it's like, no. If you disagree with it, we don't give a shit.
Yeah. No, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, and if we make a decision like firing the racist Gina Carino, who you initially were screaming at because she's a woman.
Yep.
You know, now she's your great fucking Xena warrior princess that you're all behind. And, you know, you were so pissed when we fired her for her political beliefs. You know, the churn. I'm happy to see that while, yes, they are still corporate and lukewarm in their response, at least it's a better lukewarm response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like they're finally figuring out how to appropriately deal with this, how to respond. But I do want to note one thing before we get into the actual responses, which is for those other fans and people on social media who are tired of this and are just wondering how to handle it. I want you to remember one thing. These trolls are some of the most mindless, easily manipulated sheep social media has seen since the anti-vaxxer brigade. Like, a quick personal example here is how on my TikTok account, which is also at the Maritime Lord, if you want to come check out my stupidity, when I first started it, I put up a post about getting my vaccination shot specifically because I was like, anti-vaxxers are going to jump all over this. And on TikTok, there is no such thing as bad traffic. And sure enough, I picked up some followers and got my single most viewed TikTok up to that point with something like, I think, 1,700 views.
Very good.
Now, when the news about Moses Ingram broke, this TikToker who looks like someone who wants to be a Jersey Shore cosplayer in just the worst way, posted a review of the first two episodes of Obi-Wan, and as soon as he said, "I'm going to talk about the Kenobi show, because you know, you all know I'm the most real when it comes to talking about shows." And as soon as he said most real, I'm going, ding! Because any anytime someone says anything like that, or you're the most alpha or most whatever, no, you're not.
If you have to say it, it ain't true.
Precisely. So I jumped on that partially to express my support for Moses Ingram, because I'll give you three guesses what two actors he listed as the worst things of the first two episodes.
I'm going to go with the moment when you can see a camera reflection in Vader's helmet. Yeah, that's the kind of technical detail that should upset a film and television nerd. Please proceed with what I presume is an entirely valid complaint.
Oh, he went straight to Moses Ingram immediately.
Ah, shit, fuck. I should have known.
And he starts talking about how she's not a very good character. She's annoying. Now, the fact that his second sentence was, "Don't cancel me."
Don't cancel me.
That should immediately tell you the validity of anything he's going to say. And right away, after Moses went straight for Vivian Blair and talked about how her version of Leia was annoying, reminded him of Wanda's kids from WandaVision, and how he wanted to, quote, elbow her in the face.
Wow. Well, it's probably a good thing that, you know, no one's had sex with him so that he's never around children, because, oh my God, could you imagine someone like that raising a child?
But he was joking. It was just a joke. He would never actually do that.
Sure. No, not at all a violent fantasy against a child that, like, you know, if you're around children, sometimes you do have the urge to be like, God damn it, you're annoying the fuck out of me. But he's not actually around this child. He is watching her on television for the, I want to say, 5 to 7 minutes of screen time per episode she has. That's it. That's how short his fuse is. Wow. I wonder how many people he has punched in the face in reaction to just small things, and how long his personal charge of, like, misdemeanors are. That is someone who does not think.
And isn't it also interesting how he swears he's not racist, he's not a bully, he wasn't doing anything offensive, yet deleted the post after people reacted to it?
That's entirely coincidental.
Oh, yeah.
The sound was unsyncing from my mouth. I had to remove it for technical reasons. Technical reasons entirely. It wasn't up to my personal satisfaction of quality because of the lighting. I felt that my performance in it, not the words, the performance, the delivery, could have stood to have another go. Just, please don't think that I had a moment of consideration, for the love of God. Please don't think that I thought about this.
No, yeah.
Weird motherfuckers. Now, like, weird motherfuckers. Even the concept of understanding that, ooh, sorry, maybe I said something offensive, sorry about that, is like, no, that's weakness. That is weakness. You must not. You cannot grow. You cannot learn. You must only be real. Be real. The realness. This is reality. Be real.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Really?
I mean, yeah, like I've always said, right and righteous. It's social media. You can't ever be wrong, no matter what anyone says to you.
From a certain point of view.
but to continue, on my end, see, I know the troll playbook. And I know that when I respond to something like this and the trolls come in, they're going to make comments about my weight, my age, the virginity and sex jokes that were old in the 80s, or responses that will amount to, I know you are, but what am I?
But what am I?
That's the entire playbook. So they can say, they can come in, they can say whatever they want, because I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, and, which makes it helpful and easy. Easier.
And 16 comments from mostly from trolls later, I've gotten a beautiful bit of traffic. I now have my most liked post. And 20 followers later, I have completely benefited from them attempting to troll me.
Which, hey, great success. Thanks exactly. for the traffic, assholes! It's funny because you're quite active on TikTok. I have only one video on TikTok. my account is at Crash and Burn, and it's one day my iPhone decided to come up with I'll generate a memory for this date based on photos in your archive. And it pulled out two images of Zephyrin Cochran because I had posted on Twitter just like a thing about Zephyrin Cochran. So I like saved these two images. And one was Zephyrin Cochran as he appears in the 60s. And the other is Zephyrin Cochran as he appeared in First Contact. And for some reason, my iPhone determined that these two people were lovers and created a really romantic like montage. And I was just like, oh my sweet, a machine made this and it is hilarious. So I put it on TikTok. It is the only video I have personally on TikTok. Check it out. It's a little disturbing. That robot has interesting concepts.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, folks, in the end, always remember, you can absolutely call these people out because, again, I have given you their whole playbook. They have nothing.
And it's not masturbation if it's two different actors playing the same role.
And now, let's get into the actual responses and how... Like I said earlier, Lucasfilm and Disney seem to actually be getting better at this.
Mm.
Because we're going to start with Obi-Wan himself, Ewan McGregor, who had posted a message via the Star Wars account, I believe actually from his car.
The great forum of the modern day, the front seat of your car.
Quote, it seems that some of the fan base has decided to attack Moses Ingram online and send her the most horrendous, racist DMs. I heard some of them this morning and it just broke my heart. And I do just want to add in that you can say that there's no racism, but I've seen screenshots of YouTube thumbnails about this that are racist as fuck, like things I don't ever want to repeat.
No, they're racist as fuck. It's not a question. They are racist as fuck.
To continue, quote, Moses is a brilliant actor, she is a brilliant woman, and she is absolutely amazing in this series. She brings so much to the series, she brings so much to the franchise. And it just sickened me to my stomach that this had been happening. I just want to say, as the lead actor in the series, as the executive producer on the series, that we stand with Moses, we love Moses, and if you're sending her bullying messages, you're no Star Wars fan in my mind.
Obi-Wan says, go fuck yourself.
There's no place for racism in this world, and I totally stand with Moses, end quote. Now, on the one hand, Disney probably told Ewan McGregor to post something in support. I have no doubt that happened, but this just seems so from the heart, and this man is Scottish. So I would just like to say it to you racist asshole pseudo fans, you got off light.
The trolls will be back, and with greater puppet accounts.
But then, also expressing his support for Moses Ingram, not even a Star Wars actor, from the franchise that Star Wars fans are most often at odds with. And this is another case of, this man must be protected. We need to keep this man for a long, long time.
We must protect and save Anson Mount.
This beautiful man went on his own Instagram, posted a picture of Moses Ingram, and said, quote, "This is Moses Ingram. She is a singular talent and a recent addition to the Star Wars universe. She has also been targeted by racists pretending to be fans because her mere existence threatens a skewed dystopian fantasy that selectively omits the likes of Billy Dee Williams and others. We, the Trek family, have her back." He did not have to do this.
Yeah, Star Trek did not have to do any of this, but the great thing about modern Star Trek or New Trek or whatever is Star Trek had a great deal of introspection in the last decade, specifically, you know, after Enterprise and all that. Like, there was the lull. It seemed dead. Even with Abrams, like it had to address a lot of itself. And it came back, you know, the first two seasons of Discovery were, you know, a little, like, unsure of themselves, but found itself, and then the license found itself. It knows what it is doing. You may not like the stories in Picard. You may not like Discovery's ultra wokeness, but chances are you and everyone else on Earth fucking love Strange New Worlds. And, you know, because it hits, like, all the presumptions of what Star Trek is, and yet it also hits all of the realities of what Star Trek is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And Anson Mount is the best example of that, where it's like, theoretically, this is, you know, he's a white, seemingly hetero, you know, a cis-hetero man in charge. He's, you know, he's the captain of the ship, and it's a power structure as old as time. And yet he's not that jackass. He doesn't accept your presumptions about what that means. And it flows out from there. He's not the Tom Hanks of Star Trek. He's the outright Mr. Rogers of Star Trek. And it blows everything that the whiners and complainers and the red letter media has been bitching about for years at this point. And I'm just happy that Star Trek found its swagger. It found its sexiness. It's not fake.
Yeah.
It's not put on. It's legit. It very much found itself. It came out of the closet. Thank fucking God, finally.
Yeah.
And it's fun and hip and gets invited to parties now. And it's all because it got on the other side of what Star Wars is currently going through, where it's like, no, we have to course correct and adjust because you toxic assholes drive away everyone else. Your obsessive possession of this fandom will kill it. So we need to remove you like the cancer you are. And it worked. And now there is more Star Trek than ever before. And that Star Trek does not give a crap. That Star Trek sometimes doesn't even wear pants. And I love it.
Oh, no. It's so beautiful and heartwarming to see this franchise have a lead actor who will step up and say, no, that's not acceptable.
Yeah. And that's the great thing. It's like, having gone through all of this, Star Trek's now like, I don't fucking give a crap what you think. Fuck you.
No.
Stop being a dipshit.
Yeah, no, he's not being restrained. He's not being told to play it safe. he'll come out and just straight up call out these trolls, and the entire company behind him will go, yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I'm so happy that Paramount is in one of their eras where they accept and understand that Star Trek is what keeps the fucking lights on. And therefore, let it do its thing. You can make tons of money off of it cynically. You really can. You can pretend to have these ideals and make just a ton of cash and not get in trouble, because just keep your mouth shut and let Star Trek do its thing. Let Star Trek do its thing. It's fine. It's fine. Here's the money. Here's some money. Go away.
Yeah, exactly. The simple fact is that, like you had said to me at one point off mic, Star Trek now has its own Chris Evans.
Yeah.
And I could not be happier.
Yeah, someone who actually lives up to the character that they are playing as a person. And, it's just magical. It's magical. It's fantastic. And then, yeah, like, to prove that point, he's the point man for coming out again. I mean, like, they could have had, oh my God, I can't believe I'm spacing on the actress's name, but Michael Burnham come out, and the usual whiners would have been like, oh, well, she's just saying that because she is the worst of woke track, and they... But yeah, the cishet white man come out and be like, fuck off. It's like, well, at least they'll listen to that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think at one point, somewhere early on in Discovery, they actually did have Michael Burnham come out and try to do that. And yeah, that was exactly what happened.
Yeah, because they'll just be like, of course you'll say that. And it's like, all right, assholes. Fine. If you won't listen to her, we'll find someone who you will listen to.
Yeah. Now, with this whole thing specifically, I think there's only one way to wrap this up, which is from Moses Ingram herself, who had updated her Instagram stories with a panel that just said, "The love is louder, it overflows. Thank you."
Thank you so much for listening to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I've been Crash and Burn. He has been Mike Montgomery. If you enjoyed this, or if you're a whiny little cuss, comment, leave us a comment, like, share, and subscribe, please. Just have a response. Rate us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to this. Or just send us hate mail or free money. Money orders, please. To email...
You can reach us at realgeeksHFX@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at realgeeksHFX. And for those of you who are about to email and accuse us of being woke,
bitch,
and yada, yada, yada,
bitch.
Well, one, feel free to write in, and we will happily do another B-roll where we specifically mock you the entire time.
Yeah, and know that I'm a journalist, so I can look stuff up, and I will find you. I will find you!
But I'm going to end by paraphrasing the words of Double Toasted's Corey Coleman. Woke just means that I've woken up and see the world for what it really is. So yeah, go ahead and call me woke, bitch. I don't care.